John. John.
Hello. Welcome to this worship service on Sunday, the 26th of July, the eighth Sunday after Pentecost. We are here today for what will be the first worship conducted by Pastor Eric Trazo, and we will follow this worship service with a congregational meeting. The meeting starts at 10:15, so there may be some gap. It's unusual times. We're doing this in front of a camera and learning how to do the audiovisual, but we trust that as we do this, there is a spirit that is guiding us and will help us and will bring us to understand and appreciate God's love today and going forward. We'll turn it over to Pastor Trazo.
As we gather for worship this morning, let us take a moment. Feel the challenges and the stresses and the anxieties that you've felt in this past week. But think too about the joys. What's brought you gratitude in this week? We bring all of these things with us as we come to worship the Lord, trusting that the Holy Spirit will enter into our lives in the joy and the struggles. And so let us begin our worship with a brief order for confession and forgiveness. It's found on page 94 of the ELW. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors or our families or our friends as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us. Free us from the urge to speak with haste, offending those we fail to fully understand. Let our words always honor your wondrous love, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. Beloved and sovereign God, through the death and resurrection of your Son, you bring us into your kingdom of justice and mercy. By your Spirit, give us your wisdom, that we may treasure the life that comes from Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. And now it is time for the children, so let us take a moment to join together. So children, good morning. It's so wonderful to have you with us at worship today. Even if we can't be together, to know that we are still together through the computers. And so today, we're about to hear some stories that Jesus told about God's love. We call these stories parables. And he told these stories that we're going to hear today about how God's love is with us. One of the ones we'll hear is about a mustard seed. Now, a mustard seed is this tiny little seed. It's so small you wouldn't really notice it. I wonder what it feels like to be so small that no one notices you. Maybe you know better than I do, because I'm kind of big. But I wonder what it feels like. But the mustard seed, Jesus tells us, even though it's a tiny seed, it grows into a huge bush. It's small, but it can do great things. The world sometimes can seem really big, like so much is going on, and we can feel like it's hard for anyone to notice us, and that maybe we don't have much control of what happens. But what Jesus is telling us is that God's love is so big, that it's bigger than all the troubles of the world, and even though it's so big, God knows you, and God loves you. So even though you feel small sometimes, God still knows you. And that's wonderful news. And that's something that Jesus tells us, and we can remember each and every day when we feel small, that God's love makes us big. Thanks be to God.
The first reading is from 1 Kings. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, "Ask what I should give you." And Solomon said, "You have shown great and steadfast love to your servant, my father David, because he walked before you in faithfulness, in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart toward you. And you have kept him from this, and you have kept for him this great and steadfast love, and have given him a son to sit on his throne today. And now, O Lord my God, you have made your servant king in place of my father David. Although I am only a little child, I do not know how to go out or come in. And your servant is in the midst of the people whom you have chosen, a great people, so numerous they cannot be numbered or counted. Give your servant, therefore, an understanding mind to govern your people, able to discern between good and evil. For who can govern this, your great people?" It pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this. God said to him, "Because you have asked this, and not asked for yourself long life or riches, or for the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself understanding to discern what is right, I now do according to your word. Indeed, I give you a wise and discerning mind. No one like you has been before you, and no one like you shall arise after you." The word of the Lord.
When your word is opened, it gives light and understanding. Your decrees are wonderful, therefore I obey them with all my heart. When your word is opened, it gives light, it gives understanding to the simple. I open my mouth and pant because I long for your commandments. Turn to me and be gracious to me, as you always do to those who love your name. When your word is opened, it gives light and understanding. Or Order my footsteps in your word. Let no iniquity have dominion over me. Rescue me from those who oppress me, and I will keep your commandments. Let your face shine upon your servant, and teach me your statutes. My eyes shed streams of tears because people do not keep your teaching. When your word is opened, it gives light and understanding.
The second reading is from Romans. The Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought, but that very Spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words. And God, who searches the heart, knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. We know that all things work together for good for those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be firstborn within a large family. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. What then are we to say about these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not withhold his own Son, but gave him up for all of us, will he not be with him also give us everything else? Who will bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Is it Christ Jesus who died? Yes, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed intercedes for us? Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will hardship or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all day long. We are counted as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. The word of the Lord.
Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. Speak, O Lord, your servant is listening. You have the words of eternal life. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 13th chapter. Jesus put before the crowds another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that someone took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of all of the seeds, but when it has grown, it is the greatest of shrubs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and make nests in its branches. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed in with 3 measures of flour until all of it was leavened. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which someone found and hid. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls. On finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was thrown into the sea and caught fish of every kind. When it was full, they drew it ashore, sat down, and put the good into baskets, but threw out the bad. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come and separate the evil from the righteous and throw them into the furnace of fire, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Have you understood all of this? They answered, yes. And he said to them, therefore, every scribe who has been trained for the kingdom of heaven is like the master of a household who brings out his treasure, what is old and what is new. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our gospel reading today begins with the familiar story of the mustard seed, the tiny seed that grows into the greatest of shrubs and even a tree. The idea of God working in small things and unexpected ways is one that may seem familiar, and yet I find that we often forget its reality. I know that for myself, at least, I can get caught up in big plans, big events, focus too much on them. Perhaps that's true for you too. I certainly see it happening frequently in churches. Did you know that in the past 120 years, Christians have come up with approximately 2,400 different formal proposals for how to evangelize the entire world population? 2,400. And of those, almost 2,000 have come since 1970. That's a lot of big ideas and big plans. So what have we gotten for all of these grand plans? The percentage of the global population that is Christian today is 35%. 120 years ago, it was 34.5%. Half a percent increase from 34.5 to 35. That's a small change for so many big plans. In my travels in the Christian church, again and again, I have come across the same discussion. Why is the church shrinking? Why is it harder to do all that we used to do? Why is the church less influential than it used to be? What are our plans for getting bigger? What are our plans for growing? What more can we do to reach people? How do we convince them? I've heard this discussion on the level of international mission leaders, bishops, local congregations, casual conversations. And I'm sure that as you ponder calling a new pastor today, those kinds of questions are on your mind too. And those are good and appropriate questions to be asking. But at the same time, two things I want you to remember. First, the church has not, in fact, shrunk, looking at a global level. In fact, over the past 120 years, it has slightly increased its percentage of the global population to 35%. That's possibly the highest percentage ever. The church has certainly changed in those times. New peoples, new voices have emerged, and change sometimes feels like loss. That's certainly true. But the church is not disappearing from this world. In fact, those new voices have led to new ways of understanding God's leading and opened new kinds of ministries that could not have been expected by any of those grand evangelization plans of these past years. Even more, the second point. Plans are important, but they need to be held loosely. Plans do not bring life, growth, energy, transformation. At best, they can assist with it. At their best, they help us to recognize the kingdom of heaven. When the Holy Spirit moves us to see the kingdom of heaven at work around us, that's when growth and transformation happen. In our gospel readings today, Jesus tells a series of five parables about the kingdom of heaven. That's five different images, different pictures of what the kingdom of heaven is like. And each one's a bit different. Now, the kingdom of heaven is what we pray for when we pray, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." It's those moments when God's will for us, for this planet, are realized. They are the fleeting moments when God fully reigns in the here and now, in our hearts and in our world. And such moments are fleeting because there are so many things in the world that pull us away from what God desires. We catch only glimpses here and there, and we don't really know what to look for. So Jesus gives us these pictures to have a sense of what it looks like. Jesus says that the kingdom of heaven is a mustard seed, tiny, but leading to great growth. Next, he adds that it is like yeast that a woman mixes into the flour. So now we have that not only is the kingdom of heaven something that grows into a great deal on its own, but more than that, even a little bit causes everything around it to rise up and grow as well. We seem then to have a theme of something small that causes great growth. But then the third parable turns to a different theme. The kingdom of heaven, he says, is like a treasure that someone finds and hides. In this one, there isn't growth that happens. It's something that is hidden and found. And it causes a transformation in the life of the one who finds it. He gives up everything else to focus on this great treasure. The kingdom of heaven, then, is something hidden yet of great value. And the fourth parable echoes this, as it tells of a merchant who finds a great pearl and sells off his entire stock to buy this one great one. Again, he gives up everything to get the one great treasure. There's nothing in the parable about what he does once he has it. Obtaining it is goal enough. And so it sounds like this pearl of great value transformed the merchant into a collector. So in the first four parables, we have two that talk about the kingdom as growth and two that talk about it as transformation. The fifth parable is that it is like a fishing net that scoops up everything in the water, so that later the fishermen can sort through what is good and what is bad. And so this seems to indicate that the kingdom of heaven encompasses all of life. So the kingdom of heaven embraces the fullness of life. It transforms our priorities in life, and it causes growth not only in us, but moves us to bring growth and transformation to what's around us. Transformation and growth comes from the work of the kingdom of heaven in our lives. And the kingdom of heaven is hidden. It's surprising and unpredictable. Grand plans do not bring growth. Growth comes from having our lives transformed by the Holy Spirit. This is true of our personal lives, and it's true of us as the church. If we think about the early church in its time of incredible growth, we could say that they had a terrible evangelization plan. They went around proclaiming that a crucified, that is, a shamed, disgraced, and executed man from a conquered people of a minor religion from a rural province on the edge of the Roman Empire was, in fact, the Lord of the cosmos. That's not exactly a convincing argument or a slick evangelism campaign. It would not work as the basis for a grand plan of global evangelization, the experts would tell us. And yet, their lives were so transformed by following Christ that they reached out with intense compassion and love for those around them. And they would continue in that compassion and devotion even in the face of the worst persecution. Following Christ, they had been transformed into yeast. They had been activated to spread the kingdom of heaven, to make God's love and compassion known. And it worked. Doing so attracted others, and growth happened. That was not a big overarching plan to reach the world. It was a specific love that spread and grew. Love for Christ that leads to love of neighbor. Love of neighbor meant addressing the wounds and needs of that neighbor. Not a grand plan, passionate love. So what does passion mean here in Moorestown at St. Matthew? How does following Christ move us to see the kingdom of heaven, to be passionate followers of Christ? What helps you to see following Christ as a transforming treasure that helps you reorient your life, to allow you to pray that God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven? How does that treasure move you to be yeast in this community? You personally, you as a congregation. How does it move you to be an agent of God's healing in the struggles that face this area? How does it move you to speak words of peace and love to your neighbors? How does knowing Christ unleash the passion for the kingdom of heaven that's hidden in your heart? Maybe you have answers to all of these questions. If so, that's wonderful. Go, grow, spread the seeds of the kingdom. But maybe you don't have answers to any of them. That's okay. Sometimes it takes a great deal of wrestling and struggle and doubt for growth to happen. Oftentimes, the way the Holy Spirit brings growth and transformation to us happens so slowly that we rarely notice it at all. We struggle with these questions. We search for answers. And yet we return to Christ again and again, hoping to see more clearly the kingdom of heaven at work around us. So perhaps you feel passion through Christ in your heart. Perhaps you see it more through your involvement with the congregation. Both are okay. The two work hand in hand. So does St. Matthew need big plans for growth and transformation? No. Plans help, but growth and transformation come from the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit leads, transformation happens. New voices emerge and new ideas come from unexpected places that grand plans could never have anticipated. So whatever plans there may be, their goal is to help us follow Christ more devotedly and move us to share compassion with our neighbors. Those are the plans of becoming followers, of becoming yeast. Those are small plans held loosely. And so thank God for the transforming power of seed, of yeast, of treasure, of pearl, of net. Thank God for the ways the kingdom of heaven appears to us. Thank God for loving us, that we may move forward in Christ's name with specific and passionate love for our neighbors. Thanks be to God. Amen.
King of heaven, my victory won. May I reach heaven's joys, O bright heaven's sun. Heart of my own heart, whatever befall, still be my vision, O
confident of your care and helped by the Holy Spirit, we pray for the church, the world, and all of those in need. We pray for those convalescing, homebound, and all affected by isolation. For our first responders, military members and their families, doctors, nurses, medical technicians, all essential workers, those working tirelessly to serve their neighbors and keeping us safe. Today, we especially pray for Denise Logan and for those we name now silently in our hearts or aloud on our lips. Bring healing and relief to all who give us hope in the promise of new and eternal life where pain and suffering will be no more. Our response today is, hear our prayer. So, Lord, hear our prayer. Merciful God, your reign is revealed to us in common things. A mustard shrub, a woman baking bread, a fishing net. Help your church witness to the surprising yet common ways you encounter us in daily life. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. When your word is opened, it gives light and understanding. Increase our understanding and awe of your creation. Guide the work of scientists and researchers. Treasuring the earth, may we live as grateful and healing caretakers of our home. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. As the birds of the air nest in branches of trees, gather the nations of the world into a welcoming shade of your merciful reign. Direct leaders of nations to build trust with each other and walk in the way of peace. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Your Spirit helps us in weakness and intercedes for the saints according to your will. Help us when we do not know how to pray. Give comfort to the dying, refuge to the weary, justice to those who are oppressed, and healing to the sick. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. You show steadfast love and direct us to ask of you what we need. Help this congregation ask boldly for what is most needed. Refresh us with new dreams of being your people in this place and time. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. In you, our lives are never lost. Strengthen us by the inspiring witness of your people in all times and places. Embolden our witness now, and one day gather us with all your saints in light. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. In the certain hope that nothing can separate us from your love, we offer these prayers to you through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you always. I invite you to share a word of peace with one another through text, through email, through chat, in whatever ways that you are able. And now let us pray the Lord's Prayer together as Jesus taught us, using the familiar words. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Live your lives in Christ, rooted and built up in him, and abound in thanksgiving. The blessing of the Holy Trinity, one God, be upon you and remain with you forever. Amen. Go in peace. Christ is with you. Thanks be to God.
Thank you. cut you off there. I came in to jump the gun a little.